all flesh shall see the salvation of God. If we ever needed a reminder of the promise of God's incarnation, God being with us, it is now. According to the incarnation, if we take it seriously, there can be no selectivity for who God comes to. This is the promise of Advent, that those we might write off on our way to the manger on Christmas Day matter to God. In becoming human, God committed God's self to all of humanity. All of humanity, whether they be Christian or not, whether they worship with us or not, whether they believe in anything or not. God comes for each one of us in this world. And the word comes to John in the midst of a very messy reality. The messy reality of a world defined in his day by both secular and religious powers. In the Old Testament books of Haggai and Zechariah, the rebuilding of the Temple of Jerusalem is set within a similar context of secular and religious leadership, but in a positive and hopeful way. The tension then was quite different. But like a two-edged sword, the word comes to John dividing religion and politics and speaking directly to what often happens in the middle of that, a wounded world. We too live in a wounded world. And how amazing, how astonishing in the midst of that to hear today's words of the gospel. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Doesn't that sound amazing? Doesn't that sound lovely? That everything would be filled with good things and all the obstacles that we must climb are brought down so we can attempt them and make them and be good about ourselves. That all the things we kind of stumble around are made straight and easy, and that life is smooth. How did that work out for you this past week? Was that your Advent experience? Anyone? No. Some people are looking quite distressed. Well, it didn't work out so well for me either. And I'm wondering if that's because we often don't think about the fact that we get to see salvation. It's not that we're going to get it, it's that we're going to see it. And we forget that there are all our senses. Every one of our senses should be involved in this Advent season. We tend to think about Advent and seeing salvation as a concept, don't we? Like it's a great idea. Isn't that a great idea? We could debate it over coffee. We could write thesis on it. It's a wonderful concept. But Isaiah and John the Baptist and Jesus recast that into our senses, our lived experience. It's not just a concept relegated to life after death or a confession of creed, somehow that we can categorize what we believe, or even an idea that guarantees our future. They talk about salvation for all of us as something that can be seen and heard and tasted and lived in, and that's something we have to experience. That is a really different way of looking at Advent. The doing of Advent, the thinking about it, the decorating of it, is not the same as experiencing it. And so today we have an invitation by John and by others to enter into the Advent that we actually all crave, actually we all want. An Advent that invites the deepest of feelings amidst all our restlessness and the moving of time and the rush that we live in. Advent that's not all about doing, but also about all the being that we need in our world. And it might be the difference between living in a world that is filled with valleys and mountains and crooked ways and being a place where things are smooth and made better for us. Now, of course, the trick with that is that preparing and experiencing Advent in that way, once again, can't just become one of the things on the list, because it changes it again. I don't know about you, but I have a lot of lists right now. Does anyone else have lists? There's a lot, and they're long. They are long lists. All that has to be accomplished between now and December 25th leaves little room for an awareness of how you might be experiencing this blessed season of Advent. Now, if most of us were honest, that's actually the case all the time. It's hard for us not to be caught up in the busyness of our lives. It's hard for us not to be available at all times. Most of us are tied to those handy little devices called cell phones or tablets or computers. And how often do we actually put them aside, even for a time? We're always looking to the next thing, the next task, the next item to cross off. And it's always been challenging to be in the moment, always to just be, which is what we're called into. Now, lots of us have tried things like yoga and meditation and all those lovely things. We have lots of things in our church. I remember in New Zealand, a new bishop was elected, happened to be a Canadian, and she started calling her clergy at 7:30 in the morning and asking them what they thought of that morning's office reading. Because I'm sure you all know that clergy are supposed to pray the daily office every day. I don't think it went that well. Those who had been keen and had been praying the daily office before 7:30 in the morning felt great about the fact they were able to discuss this with their bishop. And those who hadn't thought about the office in a long time were probably brought up a little short. But that's not to say it's all the same thing for everyone all the time. If my bishop were to call me at 7:30 in the morning, first of all, I may not answer. And second of all, I will not have prayed the daily office. I will have done something else, but not perhaps that. But to be in those spaces is so important. Because to be able to be long enough, not that someone can call us and check on us, but to be somewhere long enough that we have that ability to be open to God is so important. Most of you have probably figured out by now in your life, and even Julian has figured it out, I know, because he's busy looking at a book. And I know Julian's also hearing everything I'm saying. Some of you knit. Dora will sell scarves later today. Some of you play the piano. You do whatever it is. Something you do to engage yourself enough that you can be. Because our bodies are a restless thing. Our bodies are like our world. They need to move and be occupied. So after this week of lists, where I actually spent most of Friday making lists for myself, yesterday I thought, I have to do something about this. I'm running. My head will not stop. I cannot sleep. I'm thinking about things, all sorts of stuff going through my head. So because it's not really winter yet, much to my disdain, I put on my hiking boots. And I chose a path that is hard. It's a hard hike. The first bit, and it was muddy, and there were people, but not that many, and I went out like a racehorse out of the gate. And by the time I got three-quarters of the way up, I was soaking wet, and I thought, not a bad place to have a heart attack, but I hope it doesn't happen right now. But what that did was it got me out of my head. It got me into the experience of being on that path. And when I got to the top and paused for a break and some water and some lunch and let the cool wind wash over me, for the first time probably in a few days, I was able to be. Just be. because my body had been dizzy, and then my mind was able to rest. And that, for me, was a wonderful moment of Advent. Imagine if we were to do that, each one of us, more than just once in a while, maybe more than once a day. Imagine if we were to do that and hold that up for our world, to be examples of being, not always these agents of doing and running. I mean, what is our hurry anyway? What's at stake? Will tomorrow be different because we ran faster today? Probably not. Will our patience be increased? Doubt it. Advent is about taking the time. It's about being molded and created and changed by moments of being in God's presence. And who knows what will be possible because of that? Who knows? In my case, yesterday, I was able to have a great nap afterwards. You know the kind of nap you have, or sleep, after you've exerted yourself, mind, body, soul, and you just fall into a lovely sleep. What a great gift. Imagine if we were able to present that to our world, more than just once in a while. God wants us to wait. God wants us to experience Advent with all of our being. God wants the earth-shaking transformation of our world to be just to pause and pay attention. Because once we do that, every valley will be filled, and every mountain and hill will be made low, and the crooked will be made straight, and the rough ways be made smooth. And maybe then, we too will see and accept and believe and act like everyone in the world will see the salvation of God.